Easter changes everything. Everything hinges and is on this pivotal moment in history. I was reading about a history-changing, life-changing moment that happened many years ago here recently. Actually, it comes from a man by the name of Eugene Pauly. Now, Eugene Pauly doesn't seem to be a household name. I wasn't real familiar with his name until just recently. But what is interesting about Eugene Pauly is that he has been given a lot of accolades and a lot of attaboys just because of what he's invented. Actually, several years ago, the Washington Post said this of Eugene Pauly. They said that he had revolutionized American leisure. So there it is. He's getting write-ups in the Washington Post. And then in 1999, Sports Illustrated said that Eugene Pauly was one of the men of the millennium. So here it is. Here's a man that's had such an impact on American culture and on culture worldwide that they could say of all the people that have had an impact on culture for the 100 years, Eugene Pauly is one of those. Now, Eugene Pauly has even impacted your life this morning. I'm pretty confident in saying that you've used his device at some point this morning. You see, Eugene Pauly is the inventor of the wireless remote control. Look at this wireless remote control. Look at this thing. That's one of the first ones that he invented. And so the wireless remote control here, it goes from this to this. Look, we have this. Here are my key fobs to my car. And so my cars. And so here, it's like these remote controls that have made life a little bit easier for us and probably made us a little bit lazier. But it all goes back to Eugene Pauly. Here's what we can say about Eugene Pauly and his invention. Eugene Pauly and his invention reminds us that this one thing changes everything. There's a lot of other things in life that have changed, you know, that just we can say this changes everything. When you think about Henry Ford and his assembly line manufacturing of the automobile, that really changed everything in the way we manufacture things. Thomas Edison's invention of the incandescent light bulb, that changes everything. We come to the point of Orville and Wilbur Wright and their first flight, you know, that changes everything. And we even think about what's going on in our world today. Something we can't see, something that they say is transmitted through air, and we try to have social distancing and everything, something that is so devastating, that's ruining lives, killing people, that is actually shutting down the world and our economy. Something so small that like that, you know what we can say? Changes everything. It's changed everything. We don't even know what normal will look like in a few weeks when we're able to gather again, if we're able to do it that soon. Changes everything. So here's what we find, though. Yes, as life-changing as events and inventions and even germs are, we must, and I hope you understand, that the event that Jesus Christ overcome death and is a resurrected king, is our resurrected Lord, you know what? That is far and above the life-changing event of anything else I've mentioned today and anything you can think of. That is monumental. That is significant. And that is significant for our lives, even today, and for our lives tomorrow. So here's what we find today. Easter changes everything. And I want to invite you, we're going to look at the book of Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, these first seven verses, and we're just going to see that this is the event that brought the world to understand that there is more to life and that Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Son of God. Mark chapter 16, that's the passages that are coming up on the screen are from the Holman Christian Standard Version of the Bible, and that's what I'll be reading from as well. Beginning with verse 1, you follow along with your Bibles as well. So when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they could go and anoint him. And it was very early in the morning. On the first day of the week, they went to the tomb at sunrise. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb for us?" And looking up, they observed that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. That's interesting. That's not to let Jesus out. That was to let them in. So let's understand that. And when they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in long white robe sitting on the right side where they were amazed and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, or actually it could be fearful. He told them, you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has been resurrected. He is not here. Oh, beautiful words. But go and tell his disciples. And it's interesting, he says, and Peter. You remember Peter just had a big fail, doesn't he? Just a few days before when he denied Jesus three times. Well, he just wanted to let you know, Peter, I'm still with you. I'm giving you a second chance. Go tell him as well. And he's going ahead of you. Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. And you will see him there just as he told you. Oh, what a beautiful word. This is life-changing, a pivotal moment in history where everything changes because of this one event. I want us to take this. I want us to look at this very practically for just a moment. It's going to get very practical. There's nothing more than we can do than to take a holiday, a time like the celebration of Easter. And we always need to ask ourselves, so what? And I want to answer that today. So what? And we're going to talk about how Easter changes everything and what it does. Before we move to the practicality, I want to give you just a little confidence in knowing this story in its reality. This is a true story. This actually happened. How do we know that? And how can we have that? And it's simply this. It's because of the evidence. The evidence speaks to this is a real event that happened. The first evidence that we have is that Jesus predicted this all along. So numerous times in the Bible, Jesus says, hey, this is going to happen. He was, yeah, I'm going to be killed. I will actually be flogged. I will be persecuted. And you know, my life will be taken from me. He had predicted this, and then I will rise on the third day. Actually, he had been trying to even tell those closest to him for quite some time that this is going to happen. And the disciples, you just didn't get it all the way until the end. And so it was hard, but you know, Jesus was predicting this the whole time. Actually, so much so that it was believed that, you know, Jesus was talking about this and people knew it, that we read in the scriptures that the religious leaders even posted a guard at the tomb just in case something like this happened. So first off, here's the evidence. Jesus predicted it. The second evidence that we have is that eyewitnesses saw it. Okay, so Jesus, over a 40-day period, appeared to numerous people. We have a passage where he appeared to two disciples on the Emmaus Road. We know that he appeared to the disciples. We even told at one point that he appeared to about 500 people at one time. So Jesus has appeared to all these people over a period of time after his crucifixion. So we have not only Jesus' prediction, we have eyewitnesses as well. But then lastly, not only did Jesus predict it and eyewitnesses saw it, but we have history supports it. I want you to think for a moment. The very reason that we're doing church right now, we're doing church. You're doing it from your living room. You're doing it from somewhere. We're all isolated. We're all doing it in different places in different ways, but we're all streaming this service. And the very reason we're having church and the very reason we're having a worship service is because Jesus is alive. It's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. History supports it. The main message, I want you to think, the main message the disciples went proclaiming after the resurrection, after they got it, it wasn't like turn the other cheek or do good to others or things like that. Those are good things. We should be doing those. But their message was Jesus is alive. That's the reason as you go into the book of Acts, that they got so, they stirred things up so much because they were preaching the resurrection of Christ. It got them in jail. It got them persecuted. It got them harmed. They were preaching Jesus is alive. So what it reminds us of today is this is the evidence. So I just wanted to share that with you just for a moment before we get to the practicality. And so what we have today, we have Jesus, we have eyewitnesses, we have history. All these things point that there is a resurrection of Christ. But what does it mean for you? What does that mean for me? What does it mean for all of us that are listening today? And how can we understand this on a very practical scale? Well, there's two things. Again, I've already alluded to them and shared them with you this morning. And we have the Bible to guide us in these very things. And it just reminds us that Easter changes everything. And the first thing that Easter changes is that Easter changes your today. You know, I want you to think about the today and how Easter impacts our today. For the believer in Jesus Christ, there is a right now immediate impact that the resurrection has on our lives. And so I want to share this here. I want to share it from another resurrection story and how this looks. So you recall the other resurrection story when Jesus arrives at a grave of a man named Lazarus. And as he approaches Lazarus, he's already been dead. He's been in the grave a few days. And Lazarus's sister, Martha, approaches Jesus as Jesus shows up. And Jesus says to Martha about Lazarus, and he says this, "Your brother will rise again." But listen, Martha comes back to Jesus and says this. And Martha looks forward to a future resurrection, and she says this, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." So Martha says, "Yeah, I understand. It's going to happen someday." She had this theology and philosophy that there's a resurrection for all of us that have a faith in Christ. But here it is. But Jesus then, he takes the resurrection and he moves it into the present. Listen to what he says. Jesus says, "Oh, let me tell you something, Martha. I am the resurrection." He says, "I am the resurrection and I am the life." By Jesus saying those few words, now he's not abolishing a future resurrection, but what he is saying is there is a resurrection power right now that's actually, Martha, about to be demonstrated before you, but there's a resurrection power that's available, and it's right now. He goes, "I'm here." It's very present. It impacts our today. But listen, let's get a little bit more practical. It's always good to get practical when we come to God's Word to understand what we should be doing here later this afternoon and how we should be living tomorrow. This is what God's Word allows us to do. What's the practicality? So here it is. Because of the resurrection of Christ, what does this mean for us? How does this impact my today? Well, the first thing it does is because of the resurrection of Christ, do you realize that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us? I want you to think about that for a moment. The very presence of God lives in the follower of Christ simply because Jesus is alive. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 8, verse 11. I love this word. He says that the Spirit of God who raised Christ or raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So it's the very presence of God that was in Jesus that raised him from the dead. He says lives in you. Now, how does that happen? Well, let's go back. We've got to go back. This is how it happened. The believer in Christ is given the very presence of God as salvation. And what is that? What is the presence of God? It's called the Holy Spirit. The very presence of God lives in you when you bring your life to Jesus and give him your life, and he comes into your life. He comes in as the presence, as his presence. Jesus promised in the Bible, he promised the disciples, he promises us. He says, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans." He goes, "But I will." He says, "When I leave here, I'm going to send you another. I'm going to leave you another." He calls him another counselor to be with you forever. That counselor word, that's an interesting word. Actually, it's the Greek word paraclete. It means to walk along beside. Other translations may call counselor as he's a helper, or he's a comforter, or he's an advocate. But ultimately, what he's saying here is that there is the presence of God that's going to be with you. He says, "I'm leaving." What does that mean? I'm dying. I'm being resurrected. I'm going back to the Father. But I will leave another one just like me in you. And that's the Holy Spirit. What does he do? The Holy Spirit leads us, and he guides us, and he helps us. He empowers us. Here's a beautiful thing. He convicts us of sin. We need that. That's the presence of God within us. Listen, this gets very practical for our day right now, for your life right now. We're talking about how the resurrection has impacted your today. And this is one of the ways. Do you know what else the resurrection does? Not only do we have the Holy Spirit to guide us because of the resurrection, but we have the freedom from sin that binds us. We are like, you know, we don't have to be slaves to sin anymore because of Jesus and his resurrection. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15. If Christ has been raised, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you're still in your sins. Listen, Paul's given us this wonderful, profound truth that because of the resurrection of Christ, listen, you're no longer, your faith is not worthless and you're not in your sin. But he was letting this Corinthian church understand, listen, guys, you need to understand what the resurrection and what that power means. If he's not been raised, then our faith has been worthless, and we're still in our sins. It's as simple as that. Christ is not dead, though. Christ is alive. That means, what did he mean? That means he conquered death. He conquered the sin and the strongholds of sin. And because he did that, that gives him, he has that authority, and he is given in it. And that's, we have that authority. Just remember, his power is within us. So what does it mean? That means we have freedom from sin that binds us as well. That's today. This is practical living. Holy Spirit to guide you. We have freedom from sin that binds us. But there's one other thing that we need to look at. There's a lot more. We're only going to focus on these three, though, that we have. Here's what we have. Because of the resurrection of Christ, and it impacts our today, we have victory over the enemy who hates us. Do you realize? I hope you understand. Satan is not a fan of yours. Satan does not like you. He does not like you streaming in a worship service like this. He does not want you to be encouraged through an Easter service. He does not want you to even be thinking about gathering together again. He's about stealing, killing, and destroying. And he is our enemy. But because of the resurrection, he has been defeated. And the very one, that very enemy, we have had victory. We've got victory over him. Listen, John says, do you remember what John says in 1 John 4, verse 4? He says, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Listen to how the author of Hebrews says this about the defeat of our enemy and victory over him. Hebrews chapter 2, it says this, because God's children are human beings, that's you and me, we're flesh and blood, we're human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. What is that? That's the incarnation, the Son of God, Jesus coming into our world. For only as a human being could he die. So Jesus came, and then as a human being he died. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil. That's it. His death broke Satan's stronghold and his power. And then he goes on to say, who had the power of death. That is the victory that we have. We have victory over an enemy who is about stealing and killing and destroying. You see, this is very practical. What does this tell us? It means that this tells us how to live today. This tells us what to do today. This changes the way we make decisions. This changes the way we treat people. This changes the way we worship and the way we view God's word and the way we pray. This has an impact on our daily lives right now. What a beautiful thing. As the Easter story, the resurrection of Christ changes everything, including my today. I was reading, actually, I heard a dad tell this story about his young son who was one day sitting watching television. He was watching cartoons. And his young son happened to be watching the cartoon you may be familiar with, the Roadrunner and the Coyote. Wow, what a great cartoon. You've probably seen those before. I've seen them recently. I still watch those sometimes. They're just wonderful cartoons. It kind of takes me back to my childhood sometimes. But you know that he's just intently watching Roadrunner and Coyote, and you're familiar with the whole storyline. It never changes. The coyote is always trying to capture the Roadrunner. And he's, you know, but we find, you know, throughout the whole storyline, what, no amount of roller skates and no number of rockets can bring about his capturing the Roadrunner. It's always, you know, anything Acme, it's always fun. This fictitious company Acme always comes into play, and he never can catch the Roadrunner. And so the boy's sitting there intently watching this cartoon. And then he just says out loud, his dad heard him, he's the only one heard him, and the kid just simply says, no matter what he does, he can never get that chicken. You know, I just thought, wow, that's perfect. You know, really, no matter what he does, he can never get the chicken. I just thought, or get the Roadrunner. You know, as I was thinking about that little story, I thought, wow, isn't that so true of our lives today? I want you to think about it for a moment. No matter what we do, no matter all the effort we do, you know what? On our own, we're not going to have any victory over the enemy. We're not going to have any freedom over sin. And actually, we will not have any understanding about a God who says, I want to live within you and guide your life. You see, when we do it on our own, we don't get these things. But because Jesus has done these things, and because Jesus has promised these things, and because of what he has done, what does that mean for us? That means we experience them as well as followers of Christ. You see, our efforts don't get it. We'll never get the chicken. We'll never get the Roadrunner. But listen, Jesus says, I've conquered these things. And as we have a relationship with him, we get those things as well. We get a God within us who guides us. We get victory over an enemy. We get what? Freedom from sin. That is life-changing today. And that's beautiful. But I'm going to say, what about your tomorrow? How does it change your tomorrow? Let's talk about that for just a moment. Easter changes your tomorrow. What does this mean? It means that the resurrection of Christ changes the trajectory of your eternity. It means it changes everything about eternity for you and me. So I want to go back to our resurrection story, our second resurrection story about Lazarus. So right after Jesus tells Martha that he's the resurrection and the life, Jesus comes back and he says this, "And the one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live." Isn't that great news? The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. What a promise from Jesus that those who know him as Savior and Lord, he's saying, you have eternal life. You believe in me, you will, maybe you die a physical death, not a spiritual death. You live eternity with me. Paul reinforced this one statement. Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 15:19. You can get it. The Corinthians were having a hard time understanding the truth of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 is devoted to that completely. Listen to what Paul says to them. He says, if we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, he said, we should be pitied more than anyone. What is Paul saying? He's saying, yeah, it's for today. It's for this life only. But he said, if this is all we're putting our hope in Christ for is right now, he said, we ought to be pitied. He said, no, there's so much more. What was he talking about? He was talking about your tomorrow. He was talking about a future resurrection. He was talking about the life that we're going to live in Christ. And so what he's telling us is that this glorious hope of Christ is before us. And that's our hope, and that changes our tomorrow. You may be familiar with a book of the Bible and a man in the Old Testament by the name of Job. I've been just reading through Job, and I tell you, really, really rough, in that whole story. But there's one statement that Job makes in the middle of all of this discourse and all the things that are happening to him. And he asked this question in chapter 14. And he asked this, when a man dies, will he come back to life? Now, that's interesting. You know what? That's a question that millions of people have been asking over the centuries, and they're still asking it today. When a man dies, will he come back to life? You know what? Well, according to Jesus, and according to the follower of Christ and those who believe in Christ, the answer is absolutely yes. Listen to what Jesus says in John 3:15. Everyone who believes in him is going to have eternal life. So what does that mean? That we have life eternal by believing in Christ. That's a promise that Jesus gives us. So what does that mean, though? So, but for the person who doesn't know Christ, for the person that's never committed their life to Jesus, the answer to Job's question and the longing question of men and women throughout all the centuries is no. If a man should die, will he live again? Based on Job's question, will he come back to life? Well, if you don't have life in you, the life of Christ, then the answer is no. And that's not just sad. That's tragic. But I want you to know here in a moment, we're going to help you understand what that can mean for you, and you can change that. You know, over the years, some famous individuals have had some of their final words, and even as they've written books, those words are captured. But it's really interesting that some final words from people right before they die, when they did not know Christ, are very telling about what they're experiencing. I'm going to give you a few of these as example here. It was the English atheist. His name was Thomas Hobbes. He said this, "I'm taking a fearful leap into the dark." Those were his final words. Oh my goodness, that speaks of so much despair. There's no victory in that. I'm taking this final leap into the dark. Here, it's the infidel, the French infidel. His name was Voltaire. He said this. He says his final words, "I am abandoned by God and man. I shall go to hell." Oh, my. Oh, my. It didn't have to be that way, did it? But that was his final words. "I've been abandoned. I'm going to hell." Here, 20th century astronomer Carl Sagan. You might remember Carl Sagan from back in several years ago. He just always talked about billions and billions and billions of stars. But it was Carl Sagan who said this right prior to his death. He said, "I would love to believe that when I die, I will live again. But as much as I want to believe that, I know of nothing that suggests that it is more than wishful thinking. Isn't that the saddest thing? That it saddens me that he says that Sagan and Hobbes and Voltaire, all of these who they're living, they've lived without Jesus, they're dying without Christ. And when they were asked the question, if a man should die, will he come back to life? Will he live again? They would say, well, no. No, it's a darkness. It's a fearful leap. I don't have anything that suggests that that's a possibility. Oh, but what about a testimony? We have time for one. From a man of God that just understood who Jesus was and the power of the resurrection for his tomorrow. His name is D.L. Moody. He was a pastor, a great pastor pastored in Chicago. And he said this one day. He says, some fine morning, you're going to read in the newspaper that D.L. Moody is dead. He says, don't you believe it? He goes, I will be more alive on that morning than I've ever been in my life. That just brings a smile to my face, because that's the hope of the resurrection. That's a man who says, I know Easter changes everything, and it's changed not only my today, it's changed my tomorrow. Yes, we can have life again, life eternal, simply by having and believing in a relationship and having a relationship with Jesus Christ. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing to know. What a hope-filled thing to experience and know today. Many years ago, Albert Einstein, the great physicist and scientist, was on a train. And as it was in those days, traveling by train, the conductor would come by and get your ticket, punch your ticket, and then move on to the next passenger. He comes up to Einstein, and he asks for his ticket, to where Dr. Einstein starts looking all over his person, in his pockets, in his coat. He can't find his ticket. He goes to his briefcase and starts fumbling through papers, and he can't find his ticket. And the conductor stops him and says, Dr. Einstein, he goes, just don't worry about it. He goes, I know who you are. He goes, actually, all of us know who you are, and I'm really sure you bought a ticket. This is not a problem. And the conductor moves on to the next passenger. The conductor makes his way all the way down to the end of the car, and he's about to go into the next train car to punch those tickets, and he turns and he looks back behind him, and he sees Albert Einstein on his hands and knees underneath his seat looking for his ticket. And so the conductor runs all the way back. Dr. Einstein, please, please. He goes, we know who you are. I know who you are, and I'm sure you bought a ticket. And to which Einstein looks up at the conductor and says, young man, he goes, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I'm going. He had a ticket. He had no idea where his next appointment or next place. He didn't know where he was going. As I was thinking about that, I just want to bring this back to you. You very well may know who you are. You know who you are. You know where you are. You may even know a little bit about the next few minutes. But the question for me to ask you today is, do you know where you're going? Do you know where you're going in the next few days? Do you know about your eternity? Do you know what all that looks like? Do you know, can you say with confidence that we've been talking about Easter changes everything? Have you allowed the God of Easter, Jesus Christ, to change your life? You know, over this past week, the staff and I have just posted little simple videos out on Facebook just about how Easter has changed everything. And we talked about how Easter changes everything and how Jesus has changed our lives. Those are our stories. Those are our stories that at some moment in time, our lives intersected with a holy God, and he gave us life everlasting. And so, and how that impacted our lives. I encourage you to go back and look at our stories. You can go find those. They're on our church's Facebook page. But also, I want you to know, do you have a story? Do you have a story? And could you simply say, Easter changes everything, and Jesus has changed my life? Listen, it can be today. Listen, this could be such a monumental thing for you today. Because this is history in the making. And you very well could be a part of a group of people around our country and around the world that made a commitment to follow Jesus Christ virtually, digitally. And it would just be the amazing thing. So what I want to share with you this morning for just a moment is this, is that if you have not ever committed your life to Christ, And if you want to know how he can change your today and your tomorrow, I just want to say you can simply do that right now, wherever you are. There might be some activity going around you. You just might need to pull aside. You might need to kind of shut some things down, or you might be the only one in a group of your family that says that. You need to go ahead and tell mom and dad, or tell your spouse, or tell a sibling, listen, I need to have Jesus change my life. And here's what that looks like. I'm just going to ask you to simply just say a prayer. And it's something like this: Jesus, I believe you change good things. You change lives. And I want you to change my life. And I'm inviting you to come into my heart and life and forgive me of my sins. And I'm asking you to change my today and change my tomorrow. Just as simple as that. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If that's a prayer that you just prayed with me, if that's a prayer you're about to pray with me, if that's a prayer you're going to be praying later on this afternoon or tonight when you're by yourself, when God brings this back to mind, here's all I'm going to ask you to do. Is we want to hear from you. Was we want to encourage you. When this whole COVID-19 quarantine ends and we're able to get together, we want to sit down and have a cup of coffee with you. Right now, we want to send you an email or make a phone call and just encourage you. Here's where you can connect with us. You can call us at this phone number, 816-322-0409. You can do that today. I'll go right to a voicemail, and we'll get that, and we'll take care of you this week. Or you can email us, info@southhavenchurch.org. And so if you do either one of those things, we will get back to you and just encourage you and how now, as Easter has changed everything and Jesus has changed many people's lives, he's done that to you as well. He changes our today and our tomorrow. I hope you're living like that. I love you, church. I look forward to being with you again next weekend as we start on our book of Psalms. We're talking about discovering God in the Psalms, a beautiful word for us this next week. I love you. I'm going to close this in prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Thank you, Father, for your love, for the peace of Christ, and for the resurrection of Jesus, who changes everything, including our lives, our today and our tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll be here next week. Hope to see you soon.